We're back here on In Focus News Radio, KMAN. Our thanks to Nancy McCarter, County Clerk in Pottawatomie County. She's a wonderful lady, and appreciate her helping us out here this morning. And remember to vote. Make sure you register. You have now until October 13th to get registered to vote. Advance voting in person and by mail begins October 14th. Be sure to exercise your right as an American and get out there and vote. We've got Pottawatomie County Commission Chair Dee McKee going to continue with us here the rest of the hour, and we're going to talk bridges a little bit. And boy, there's a real big project you guys are working on trying to, finance right now between Pottawatomie and Waubunsee County, and that is the Bellevue Bridge. It sounds like that's a real critical need right now.
It's an interesting need. The bridge is very depreciated. It's a 7-ton bridge, fracture critical. Can't get the word. All right. It's critical. Fracture critical. Right. That means that it is designed so that if it really did break, something did break under the under system, it could go down. And that's why it's at 10 ton. And it gets checked every year because of that. There's very few of those kind of bridges left in the world. We have had it on the agenda for 5 years. The challenge of it is we did a study, and it does have an economic value to Onyx and to J.B. Pearl and major businesses that go across the river and the school children and people that live on both sides working. But the count that we did last time was a little less under 500 cars a day. And perhaps, in fairness, that wasn't carrying big trucks right then because we had turned them away. But it came up again, and the discussion was putting a polymer on top of it to protect it or try to rebuild it. And we'd had Finney and Turnipseed, the engineers from around Kansas City that do the big bridges, come and do us a proposal and gave us several options. I've got the whole big book laying here about options. And the money, interestingly, the way the state sets the general, unless it's decided some other way, way of paying for a bridge over a river like that or between counties, is based on valuation. And so when we get to discussing this bridge that is one that very few people in our county actually drive, unless you're down in that area, we pay about 83% of the bridge and they pay the balance. And that makes it, when we get up in the millions, a very challenging bridge. The one we were talking about yesterday was at about $6.7 million. And we don't necessarily have all that money to just appropriate. I have said I cannot even talk about it, needing the bridge over the Blue River over here, unless we put several projects together and bond at this low interest rate that we have. The value of money is going to be there. The value of construction is there. If you'd bond and do the advanced preliminary engineering on the Blue River Bridge and maybe do the Louisville Bridge and some drainage and requirement for growth in Wamego, bond it, and then blacktopping some of these roads that are critical, especially around the new 383 school that's placed over there and a dead end, which is really a challenge, I think, right now for us based on the priorities we have. And I did go visit with the school, just slightly saying if you were increasing the revenues through sales tax, it would be a nice gesture to collaborate to help us do that infrastructure over there. I don't think they took that at all to heart, but safety and security for kids is really a big deal. So back to the Blue River Bellevue Bridge, it will be in conversation about being applied again for some specific rural bridge money that may be able to happen, $900,000. And we had it on a build grant that didn't come through, and I don't know that it will again, but we'll probably apply trying to find resources to cut down the cost. We did not say, yes, absolutely, we'll do it. My comment again is I'll do it if we do other things together so that we don't take all the money from the people in Pottawatomie County and put it into a bridge over there and leave us with no blacktop on Elm Slough and all of the things that we've already operated. And we did not finish the bridge here at Green Valley and Highway 24. The bid was quite a bit higher than what we expected. And when that happens, you have to refuse all bids and rebid. We will be doing what was called Crown C, which is by the sale barn and a road that allows the trucks to exit over in between the into that development area where there's a stoplight rather than going straight onto the highway with big trucks in that ever-increasing volume. A turn lane across one way, but you won't be able to go out and go west from the sale barn without following over to the stoplight. It'll be obvious when people start seeing it, but yeah. Some improvements. These all lay together as complications. In our county, we had enough growth that we actually had to reduce the mill levy by a slight amount instead of using that growth to do infrastructure. And that's the problem with a state-imposed tax lid, is that when we're trying to grow and we have so many of these safety and security needs, it's hard for them to say to us, well, don't use the money. The cost of living, it was lower than what our costs, our increase was, and so we had to reduce back down to that amount. Those kinds of things can be used for good bonding. We haven't done bonding of roads like that together before, but that will be our exploration for the next couple weeks, as far as I'm concerned. And I know our fellow commissioners, we're trying to find answers. It's challenging. I guess that's the hard part. And in my mind, I think we always have to keep in mind that much of our county is supported by Jeffrey Energy Center. And as we talk about different ways that after elections might change the way that energy is produced, we have an increasing discussion about the future of Jeffrey. And because the power lines are there, it can serve things like wind towers. I have a session on wind towers that coming up here. I brought thing out in western Kansas on our farm out there. We do have wind towers, and I'm familiar with it. And it was a very useful opportunity to see what can be done for the benefit of some district that doesn't have much resources. That when you put up a wind tower, it is like putting in a factory. The resources can be appropriated in lieu of taxes to the school district or to the community. In our case, it helped a very poor school district be able to survive and be like some of these others that have really gained in quality and class, I guess I'll say, with equipment and so on. But it is not. Some people just don't want it. And that's just as bad as somebody that does want it. To me, if you put in a bypass, it affects people someplace where the bypass goes. Or if you build a factory on one side of the town, it does affect where the rest of the people around there live. But the revenue that it brings in property tax and that offsets is a benefit to all the people in the community. So with open mind, I think people need to look at that as an answer. In western Kansas, we got hailed out this year on the wheat, but there's a cover crop over there with wind towers. They send you a check and you sort of say that sort of thank you Jesus. Mm-hmm. it works well. And they're changing and becoming more efficient and more powerful, and it's the one thing that Kansas has as a strength is wind. Yeah. Well recognized. So I don't know how each county will ferret out, but I think it needs a balanced look about what can be done and how things can be done. We could also perhaps do algae in the ponds that are up there and still produce electricity. There's many ways they're doing things in a new way, but our county especially has to stay on top of looking at those answers for the opportunity we have to have all the power lines gritting out to where people need power. That's where if you don't have a power line, you could build anything you want, but you can't connect it to the world if there isn't a good grid.
Yeah.
So bridges. Big deal, partly important that we have the continuing funding from those other financial resources and where our growth is giving us revenue, ability to expand and do things. The Blue River Bridge, it's on the FEMA risk list and so on. And people are more and more aware of the fact that all of this community would be better off if we had a safe and secure alternative route. I talked to Jennifer Morrow just a little bit. She probably doesn't, if she's listening, she probably doesn't know I got to the final mount. If I want to do a table talk emergency thing to show people what it's going to be like if Highway 24 does close. I don't care if you've got two or four lanes or six lanes. If it gets a big truck blows up and closes on both sides and jackknifes to the other side, you are not going to be able to just say, oh, we've got six lanes, we can make it work. You still funnel down to four.
Right.
And it's... it's got to be more important. I myself, watching the kids go online for education and not necessarily being on the campus, think that personally, that's my opinion, nobody picking up, but that putting all of that money on the North Campus right now, it could be 20, one-third of it could be pulled off and work on the bridge, and it would be better for the whole operation and the growth of all of the businesses they want to go with NBAF than doing trails and bike paths and stuff all the way up there where I don't see those many kids riding out toward where the cattle barns are. But, you know, think differently. When things go wrong, you think differently, and that's just, I guess that's my trademark, and not everybody buys into it. But
sure.
I think that kind of adjustment sometimes makes us far stronger in the end.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that Bellevue Bridge, I don't know how much traffic it gets. I imagine it gets a lot of truck traffic more than anything.
It's so, at 7 tons, it can't take any of the big truck traffic right okay. now. That's part of the challenge of it.
I see.
But okay. When we did this count, and it's probably a bit over a year old, there was about 400 and some cars a day going across it.
Okay, so not a ton there compared to like other bridges, but
part of it is the cutback of, you know, not allowing things to go over, but I don't know that we'd get over 1,000 right away.
Okay. I got to take a quick break here. We'll come back, continue our conversation in a moment. InFocus returns after this on News Radio KMAN.